Text number 62, Brahma Samhita. Aham hi vishvasya charat charasya bijam pradanam prakriti pumamscha mayahitam tej idam bibarshi vide videhi tvamato jaganti. Sri Krishna said, "Listen, O Brahma, Vidhi, I am the seed." In other words, the fundamental principle of this world of animate and inanimate objects. I am Pradhan, which means the collective elements of the material world. I am Prakriti, the material cause, and I am Purusha, the efficient cause. This fiery energy that belongs especially to the Brahman, that inheres in you, has also been conferred by me. It is by bearing this fiery energy that you regulate this phenomenal world of animate and inanimate objects. So in this concluding verse of Brahma Samhita, Lord Krishna is summarizing his teachings to Lord Brahma and basically explaining to him that he has the power to create within himself, and that power has been given to him by Krishna, that he is also within Brahma, is Brahman, or the spiritual energy, and the spiritual energy is unlimited. So now that he's connected with Krishna by surrender through the process of meditation and chanting mantra, Gopal mantra, Kam Gayatri, he has realized Krishna, had Krishna's darshan, seen the spiritual world and understand his position. So now he is no longer in illusion, and he knows what he has to do in terms of creation, and he knows how to do it. Lord Krishna is basically saying, this matter, material energy is me, I am the Prakriti, I am the Pradhan, and I am also Brahman, and Brahman is within you. And it's by utilizing this Brahman within you, which I have given to you, that you will be able to create the world. The Acharyas explain this verse in the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Sri Jiva Goswami, are summarizing different schools of philosophy, the Gyan Marg, the school of the Gyan or philosophical speculation leading to Brahman realization or Brahma Kaivalya, Brahma Sayuja, merging into the Absolute. And then the purport touches the six major philosophies of India, Naya, Patanjali, yoga system, Naya, logic, Vaisheshika, discrimination, Sankhya, the Neti Neti or counting system of, and Purva Mamsa, which is karma is everything, philosophy. But here Lord Krishna is actually indicating the philosophy that was propounded most prominently in recent times by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the philosophy of Chintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. The verse itself, if you were to give a title for this verse, you would explain that God or Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, is the ultimate source and maintainer of everything. And some of the notes that are here in this verse is explained that this being the last verse that Krishna is saying that the purport you could say is explaining the principle of pure life in the pure divine succession following pure devotional scriptures. Swayam Rupa Sri Gaura Krishna, he is the embodiment of the teachings of inconceivable oneness and difference. So in Sri Chaitanya's philosophy, although it is known as Gaudiya Vaishnavism, it is indeed Vaishnavism. And before Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago, there were the major Vaishnav schools of thought that were propounded 1,200 years ago and 2,000 years ago, and since time immemorial, the worship of Lord Vishnu. And those who worship Lord Vishnu are known as Vaishnavas. So the Sri Vaishnavas, and then the Madhvas, and the Rudra Sampradaya, the Madhva Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya. So we're Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So what Lord Chaitanya did was he amalgamated the principles of the Gyan Marg with the Gyan Marg, which is the impersonal approach to the Absolute Truth, ending in Brahman. He combined that with the personal philosophy or the theistic philosophy of the Vaishnava school. He said by saying that God, the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, is simultaneously one. He is one. It is all one. It is all Krishna. It is all Krishna's energies. Parasya Shakti Rivadaya Shriyate Sabhavaki Gyala Kriyacha. Krishna's unlimited energies, which are manifested in different forms and expressions throughout the different domains, whether they be the spiritual domain or the material domain. But at the same time, Krishna is different. He's one with and different from creation. He's within everything. He's with outside of everything. He is impersonal. He is formless in his Brahman aspect. But in his Parabrahman aspect, or in his internal Antaranga Shakti, or his Swarup Shakti, he expresses a personal aspect with a personal form, Swayam Rupam, Satchidananda Vigraha, Ishvara Paramakrishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarvakaranda Kananam Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Krishna is personal and he is impersonal. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is the philosophy that he taught, which is the perfection. This is the Swayam Bhagavan Gaur Krishna. The Swayam Bhagavan or Swayam Rup is Krishna. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Sukadeva Goswami and Vyasadeva explains in the first canto of Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 3, verse 28, I believe. Ete chamcha kalapamsa, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Indrari vyakulam mule, mridyanti juge juge. That the Supreme Absolute Truth is actually Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. He is the origin of all the Vishnus and all the avatars. Krishna is a sarva avatari. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was not denying the six philosophies of India, but he was unifying them and harmonizing them all in this topmost presentation of theistic Vedanta, which is known as Achintya Beda Abeda Tattva. So when he looked to the school of Vaishnav thought, then from the Vaishnav school he took principles or two points from each of the leading acharyas. So from Madhvacharya, from the Tattvavadis or the worshippers of Udupi Krishna, who are aiming at going to Vaikuntha in a bhava or a destination of Dasyaras with some friendship with Krishna in the Gaurava Sakyaras, which is a mood of friendship with Krishna and servitude with Krishna, but that friendship is a very reverential friendship and a very official friendship, somewhat distant and somewhat not as intimate as the Vishramba Sakyaras of Braja Gokul, where the Gopas Sridham and Sudham and Subal, they wrestle with Krishna and they defeat Krishna, and Krishna has to carry them on his shoulders, and they're equal to Krishna and feel themselves not only equal but even superior to Krishna. There's no reverence and mood of worship. It's rather equals, and even sometimes they're bigger and better and stronger and faster than Krishna. So this is called Vishramba, very intimate, sweet, dear, equal, and bosom friends and bosom buddies. So this is the Madhva school, but from Madhva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to present his philosophy, or Gaura's philosophy, which is Vaishnava philosophy, Gaudiya Vedanta, or it is the Gaudiya, not the Vedanta of the Gyan Vedanta or the Shankara's Vedanta, but the Gaudiya Vedanta. And he based it on two points he borrowed, or you could say appreciated from Madhva. Was Madhva's strong defeat of the Mayavadi philosophy. Madhvacharya wrote a famous essay where he listed 100 points. It's called Mayavadi Siddhanta Shatadushani or something like this. 100 shlokas in defeat of the Mayavadi philosophy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took many of those points to present his philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, defeat of Mayavadi philosophy, and the service of the deity, the Krishna deity, and accepting that the Archamurti, or the Archavigraha, which is the representation of the Lord in the material elements of either Ashtadhatu, the deity of the Lord appears either in Daru form, Daru Brahman, or the Shila Brahman, or the Mana Brahman, or the Ratna Brahman, or Swarna Brahman, or Chandi Brahman. In other words, Brahman, or spiritual energy, can appear in jewel form, or in the form of the mind, the deity of the mind, or the deity made of jewels, or deity made of wood, Daru Brahman, just like Sri Jagannath Dev, Purushottam, Krishna, Brijendranandan Krishna, who's appearing in Sri Purushottam Kshetra, or Sri Kshetra Jagannath Puri. Lord Jagannath is known as Daru, Daru Brahman. Brahman means spiritual energy, Sachidananda. Vigraha, or Murti, Archamurti, the deity. So Madhvacharya very much emphasized that one should not, based on Puranas and Upanishads, where they describe the tattva, Krishna's tattva, one should not think that the deity is made of wood, or the deity is made of stone, Shila, but it's Shila Brahman. Shila means stone, but it's Brahman, it's transcendence, it's Chinmoy, or spiritual energy, transcendental energy. So the deity made of jewels, or the deity in the mind, or like the gopis, the Kanyakumaris, the virgin girls of Vrindavan, when they were worshipping Katyayani, they made a deity of sand, the beach sand, or the sand of the Yamuna. They fashioned a deity out of sand, and then they offered puja, flowers and fruits and kunkum and rice and incense and ghee and all these things. And then later, when their puja was over, they would offer the deity to the waters of the Yamuna. But that deity was fully Katyayani. And the proof of that was, after 1 month of doing puja and bathing early in the morning at sunrise in Yamuna during the month of Mrigashirsha, November, December, that after the month, then Katyayani, she manifested herself to those gopis, and everyone felt her presence and perceived her in various individual ways, the presence and of Katyayani. And the gopis were remarking to each other, oh yes, we can understand that Katyayani has appeared and has accepted our puja and is very pleased with our worship. Although to a non-believer or to an atheistic person, they would say that they were just some silly little girls worshipping some doll made of sand. But Madhvacharya didn't preach like that. He established his mat, his headquarters in Udupi in South India, and he established seven different mats, I believe it was seven mats, to take care of the puja over there of Udupi Krishna. They have very elaborate and gorgeous festivals throughout the day and month and year for the pleasure of Krishna, Udupi Krishna, who is known as Gopal. He's standing with a coward stick in his hand, and he's eager to go out with the cows. So service to the Krishna deity is accepted, and the understanding that to serving the deity is the same as serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is one of the main teachings of Madhva, to impress upon the people, because we cannot see Krishna, but we can perceive Krishna through the elements, because our body and visual senses are made of material matter, or pradhan, as this verse mentions, matter, pradhan, or prakriti. So we can see Krishna. And Ramanuja, from the Sri Sampradaya, Ramanuja was a worshipper of Lakshmi Narayan, or Sita Ram, different branches, but basically he worshipped Lakshmi Narayan. And some of the Ramanandis, or branch of the Ramanuja, branch of Ramanuja, they worship Sita Ram. His contribution was the concept of pure devotion, pure bhakti. It's known as Kevala Bhakti or Shuddha Bhakti, free from any jnana or karma. Sometimes we hear this term, karma mishra bhakti or jnana mishra bhakti. But he rejected this as unsuitable or inappropriate way to worship the Lord with a selfish contamination or contamination of knowledge or personal desire for enjoyment, karma mishra. So Lord Chaitanya, he took that from Ramanuja. From Vishnu Swami, from the Rudra Sampradaya, he very much distressed dependence on Krishna, dependence on Krishna on the path of rag bhakti, or the path of rag marg, spontaneous devotion to the Lord. So we know that these are two very important points in Gaudiya Vedanta, or the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva of Bhagavan Gaura Krishna, that he very much emphasized. In fact, there are verses throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengali, or it says Rag Marg Prachar. Lord Chaitanya came to Rag Marg Prachar. Prachar means to preach. It directly says in the Bengali in Srila Prabhupada's edition, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya came, his external reason was to establish Dharma. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata bhuta nama dharmasya tadat manam trijamyaham. Like Krishna and all other avatars in every yuga, they come to obviously to destroy demons who are, demons are the cause of destruction of Dharma, so you have to destroy demons in order to restore Dharma or religious principles. So they all avatars do that, whether they meet Matsya or Kurma or Nisringha, etc. But that secondary or an external reason, Bahir Karana, but there's Antar Karana and Bahir Karana. Bahir Karana is an external cause and Antar Karana is internal cause. The internal cause of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given by Kasturi Manjari, Krishna's Kaviraj, is explaining the Rag Marg Prachar. He came to preach the path of Raghunuga Bhakti, specifically the spontaneous love of the gopis of Vrindavan, culminating with the Mahabhava of Srimati Radharani, which Krishna himself wanted to taste and relish, so he took the form of Radharani in the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and relished all those topmost ecstasies of Divyonmad and Adivruta Mahabhav and showed them to the world, and not only showed them, but then taught all the sadhakas and the practitioners, the bhaktas in the Gaudiya line, taught them how to attain such service of Radharani in Mahabhav and Braja Bhakti or Gopi Bhav, which is Rag Marg. So this idea is very much prevalent in the Vishnu Swami's line of worship of the Lord, spontaneous love, and then also dependence on Krishna. We see in the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Mahashaya, and other Padakartas and great acharyas, they emphasize this dependence on the Lord, the Sharanagati. Bhakti Vinod Thakur has an entire songbook called Sharanagati with 63 songs of surrender. And Sharanagati, there's a verse in it, Madhilila, or Goptritve Varanam, Pratikulyasa Vardhanam, Anukulyasa Varjanam. It says one should, there are six symptoms of surrender, and one of them is to accept everything favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject everything unfavorable, and feel that Krishna is one's only protector, and then feel one and dainya, or feel very humble and meek, and then another one is to feel complete dependence on the Lord. So this is one of the six symptoms of surrender to the Lord under the category of Sharanagati. So this idea of complete dependence was one of the two philosophical principles and ideas that Lord Chaitanya took from Vishnu Swami, and he very much exhibited that mood of dependence on the Lord. Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to Srivas Thakur's house and he said, "Srivas, I see that all you're doing, you're a pundit. You're only interested in studying the scriptures and engaging in Harinam Sankirtan and serving the devotees and maintaining your family and associating with me and taking part in the Sankirtan movement, but I don't see that you have any other engagement. You don't seem to be doing any brahminical activities, yajna, yajna, dan, pratigraha. You don't do any yajnas or You simply seem to read Shastra all day and chant Hare Krishna. How do you maintain your family? You have a very large house here and many servants and you have a large estate. And your wife and children and yourself, everyone seems to be quite well clothed and fed. And then Shivas Thakur, he said, it is very easy, my lord. I get everything I need by clapping my hands three times. I just clap my hands once, two, three. And then everything comes. And Lord Chaitanya said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'm completely dependent on Krishna. I depend on Krishna, on the Lord. I don't make any separate endeavor. I simply chant Krishna's name and study the Shastras and Bhagavatam and the books glorifying the Lord. And if the end of the day, if some donation comes or someone brings some alms or some food or something, then we eat. I just clap my hands once. And then if at the end of the day nothing has come, if Krishna has not arranged anything, then okay, pass the day. We fast that day. And then the next day we read and chant, engage in Sankirtan, do my duties as a Grihastha, as a pundit. Then if nothing comes, I clap my hands twice, and then fast again a second day. Then the third day comes, and we chant and read the Shastras and do our duties, engage in Harinam Sankirtan. And nothing comes, I clap my hands again. But somehow, I just clap my hands and everything comes. Someone always brings some milk or some grains or some fruits or some spices and some vegetables and sabjis and cloth and silk and jewels. Everything is provided by the Lord. I depend on the Lord. I'm simply depending on Him. So Lord Chaitanya said, yes, you are a devotee. You are a real devotee. I can see from your life that you are completely dependent on the Lord, that you've actually surrendered fully to the Lord. And because you are completely dependent, then Krishna has become purchased by your surrender and become controlled by your love. So he feels bound by your dependence to take care of you. Just like an innocent baby or child is completely dependent on his mother. He has no power or strength or ability to fend for himself or to collect food or clothe himself or to feed himself or cleanse himself. He's totally dependent. So as the Bible says, and as all great spiritual teachers will say, that we should become as a child before the Lord. We should become like a child, means not childish or foolish, but we should become completely dependent before the Lord and simply dedicate everything we have for His service. So these are two principles that were incorporated in Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. And from Nimbarka, Lord Chaitanya took the very significant points which makes the Gaudiya Vaishnavas very much similar to the Nimbarkis. As we took the principle of taking soul shelter of Srimati Radharani and the esteem of the gopis' love for Krishna. In other words, Nimbarka was born in Vrindavan. And there's some pastime how he got his name, because Neem means neem tree and Arka means sun. There's a temple in Puri, nearby Puri, about 25 kilometers north of Puri on the ocean. A temple to the sun god. It's called Konark, because Arka means sunshine or sun, and of course that's the temple of the sun god. Most devotees have heard of Konark, and sometimes people say that Lord Chaitanya would go there sometimes in the mood of Radharani, going to the Suryakund to do puja every day to Suryadev in Vrindavan at Suryakund outside of nearby Radhakund, 5 kilometers from Radhakund. In the same way, in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya would go to Konark. There's some story about Nimbarka when he was young. He was living under the neem tree, and he was having some discussion with someone, and there's some challenge or something. That person said, someone came, some philosopher came, and he challenged this young sage, this young devotee, who was, don't know what his name was, but later he became known as Nimbark. He said, I'll give you till sundown, till the sun sets, to figure out, you know, to answer my questions or to figure out my riddles or my philosophy. So then he said, all right. And so then this challenging traveling philosopher, Rishi, challenged this future first sage who would be known as Nimbark. He said so many difficult things. So then Nimbark, he started answering him, and he gave so many, he was presented with such difficult questions and riddles, it would be very difficult to figure out in 100 years for any normal philosopher, but somehow he was able to solve them. But then he had great powers, so what he did is that the sun was setting, but it was, he somehow he was able to catch the, keep the sun sitting in the neem tree. And the sun didn't set, it just stayed inside a neem tree for hours and hours and hours. So it took about 10, 12 hours for the sun to set, although it was late afternoon when this challenging philosopher met Nimbark. I believe the story is there, I may be wrong, but then finally this young philosopher, Vrindavan, young devotee, he defeated this challenger, and then the sun set. So then everyone was observing this, and they saw, look, this, he's so powerful. Not only did he answer all these questions and defeat all these challenges, but he was able to keep the sun sitting in the branches of the neem tree to prevent it from setting. So he got the name Nimbark. Neem Ark Bark. So he was born in Braj near Govardhan Hill, and he wandered around Braj here and there. So he was, obviously he was a Vaishnava. He's one of the four Vaishnava schools. He was a propounder of the Nimbark school of Vaishnavism. But he specially emphasized the shelter. There's no other shelter but Radharani. And the great, he really emphasized the love that the gopis have for Krishna. There's no higher love or better love or purer love or more intimate love than that of the Braja gopis. So Nimbark, since he lived most of his, all of his life in Vrindavan, he had an extremely deep effect on Vrindavan. We as Gaudiya Vaishnavas tend to have a rather biased view of Vrindavan. We think that it's, that Vrindavan was nothing but some trees, and that Rupa Goswami and Sanatan and Lokanath and Bhogarbha, they came here and found everything and uncovered everything. But actually the Nimbark sadhus were living all over Vrindavan for the last 1,000 years. And Barsana and Gokul and mostly on, in Barsana and Govardhan area, and places where Radharani would frequent. So even today, the temple at Barsana and so many Leela Stalis throughout Vrindavan, and Nimbarkis are a very strong group. The Madhvas, obviously, they're all in South India. The Ramanuja followers are all in South India. Of course, they have a few branch offices here, branch temples, Vishnu Swami. But Nimbark is, this is, as much as Vrindavan is the headquarters, one of the headquarters for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, besides Navadvip, Mayapur, Navadvip, and Puri, Nimbark is, this is their headquarters, Vrindavan. And so Nimbark was here 1,000 years ago, and he was here for many, many, 80, 90 years, whatever. Lord Chaitanya came for 2 months, and Rupa Goswami and Sanatan came for 40, 50 years. And they discovered many places also, but many, many places. Even today, you go around everywhere, there's hundreds and hundreds of Nimbarki sadhus and bhavas everywhere. And the most popular mantra chanted all over Braj Mandal is Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, Sham Sham, Radhe Radhe. So this is Nimbark. Nimbarki was obviously, he's Ishtadev or Ishtadevi with Srimati Radharani, and he had no other shelter than Radharani. And he emphasized that. And so rather than, so he appreciated the Shastric position of the Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But he was, because mostly in the Puranas and the ancient Shastras where the Hare Krishna Mantra is listed, they generally present the Hare Krishna Mantra are names of Krishna. That Hare is the vocative form of Hari. O Hari, then you say O Hare. So Hare and Krishna and Ram are all masculine words. This is the general Vaishnava conception that the Mahamantra means, O Hari, O Krishna, O Ram. So Nimbarka didn't appreciate that so much, although the Gaudiyas have drawn a more combined yugal concept that Hare means, it's not Hari, although it does mean that also. Hare means Hari. But that Hare actually means Hara, or Hara Hara, or Hara means the Shakti, or Radharani, Srimati Radharani. Oh Hare, oh Hara, oh Mother Hara, as Prabhupada said, please engage me in the service of Lord Father Hari. This is how Prabhupada describes it, because he calls Radharani Mother. So he says, oh Hare, which is the vocative, or the calling out form of Hara. So then he says, Prabhupada says, oh Hara, oh Mother Hara, please engage me in the service of the Lord Father. Lord Father Hari. This is the actual quote you can see in folio. Because she's the Mother Hara, and then Krishna must be the Lord Father. So, but Nimbark didn't want to, he appreciated that Mahamantra is something very important, but he introduced his own, the Nimbark Mahamantra, which is also 16 words and 32 syllables. And he didn't really substitute Hare for Radhe, but he wanted to emphasize Radharani, this Yuga mantra, Radhan Krishan, Radhan Sham. So rather than have the word Hare meaning Hari, then he forgot, didn't try to give some interpretation to it. He simply said, I'll make my own mantra with Radha and Krishna. Rather than Hare means Radharani, he simply made it direct. So for his line, that's their Mahamantra. So everywhere you hear in Vrindavan, you hear this mantra everywhere. When you first come to Vrindavan, and you're a new devotee, and you have a lot of cow dung in your head, as Prabhupada said oftentimes, he said, your brains are full of cow dung, which is actually a compliment, because mostly our brains are full of dog dung, or dog stool, rather. But anyway, I remember first hearing Prabhupada say that your brains are full of cow dung, you're so stupid. I thought, wow, that's a compliment. Cow dung, because cow dung is pure. So my brain is full of pure cow dung. But the reality is my brain is full of pure dog dung, to not use the common word for dung in America. We might say something else, but which is actually a German word derived from Germany. So it was a compliment. At any rate, when you first come to Vrindavan, when you hear these kirtans, you think, oh, look, everywhere they're chanting Hare Krishna. It's wonderful. Behind the temple, here or there, I heard them all night kirtan Hare Krishna, because you can't hear very well. You can't hear very clearly. So you think what you're hearing is Hare Krishna, but actually they're saying Radhe Krishna. And you think they're saying Hare Ram, but they're saying Radhe Sham. I know, myself, I had the same delusion for many years, actually. I thought, oh, it's so nice everywhere. And then I would say, oh, let me go to that temple and sit there. And I walked in a temple, and they're wearing different kind of tilak, and they all had beards and long hair. And then I sat and listened very intently, and I said, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like Ram, it sounds like Sham. And that doesn't sound like Hare, it sounds like Radhe. And that is, in fact, what they're chanting. Only at Radhakund you'll hear Hare Krishna mantra. There's kind of a stronghold of Gaudiya Vaishnavas there. But if you go down the street to Naradakund, which is only right next across the street from Kusum Sarovar, that is controlled by the Nimbarkas and Jatipur and this place and that place and so many places. At any rate, Lord Chaitanya liked Nimbarka. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Nimbarka did some austerities in Navadvip, and Nimbarka had darshan of Gauranga, and Vishnu Swami did austerities in Navadvip Dham, and he had darshan of Gauranga, and Ramanuja did austerities in Navadvip Dham, and he had darshan of Gauranga, and Madhvacharya also did austerities in Navadvip Dham, and he had darshan of Lord Gauranga. This is explained in Navadvip Dham Mahatmyam by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Lord Chaitanya was happy to have all their darshans, and he took some of their gems of contribution. So all of that went into making these philosophy, the soul shelter of Radharani, and the topmost, the love of Krishna. I mean, there's one verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vrajabadhu Beer, where Lord Chaitanya says there's no greater place than Vrindavan, and there's no greater devotees than the gopis of Vrindavan. Their love is the greatest, and just as the gopis are worshipable, the land of Vrindavan is also worshipable. So in this verse, the 62nd verse, Krishna's concluding his teachings to Lord Brahma. Basically, he's explaining to Lord Brahma in various philosophical and technical terms. He's saying that I, Krishna, am the basis of everything, but you should not decry others, any others. He's very silently actually asserting here the philosophy of Chintya Beta Beta Tattva and the purport. That is, the inner meaning of this verse is brought out by Jiva Goswami and Bhakti Santa Saraswati. In this connection, there's a verse that is in the Sanskrit commentaries of this verse by Jiva Goswami. He refers to a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 25, verse 56. Because this purport mentions the philosophies of Sankhya, Patanjali, Naya, Vaisheshika, etc. So Sri Jiva, he says, this verse is Tatechaya darshana hoite tatva nahi jani mahajana je kahi se satyamani. Translation: by studying the six philosophical theories, one cannot reach the absolute truth. It is therefore our duty to follow the path of the mahajanas, the authorities. Whatever they say should be accepted as the supreme truth. So in this verse, Krishna's Kaviraj is explaining, this is actually a discussion of Lord Chaitanya and Prakashananda Saraswati. There's a discussion of Patanjali and Naya and Mimamsa and all these things, and Vedanta. So the conclusion is Mahajana Yena Katasa Panta, that one must follow the Mahajans. So our Mahajan is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is basically what Krishna is telling Lord Brahma here, is that to follow me, that I'm within you, that fiery energy, as the verse says, that this fiery energy that belongs specially to the Brahman that inheres in you has been conferred by me. In other words, within you is the Satchidananda Brahman, is the Atma, and everything is within you. Like we say, the kingdom of God is within you. You need not look anywhere else. If you look within you, you will find God. And New York in the 60s, they once asked Prabhupada, is Krishna in your heart? We mentioned before, in other class. And Prabhupada said, yes, yes. And they said, and the disciples said, well, Prabhupada, if Krishna is in your heart, does that mean that Radharani is also there with Krishna? Yes. But Radharani and Krishna, they're together, but they're always together in Vrindavan. Does that mean Vrindavan is in your heart? And Prabhupada said, yes, Vrindavan is in your heart. So the kingdom of Brajabhumi, or the kingdom of Brajadam, Prem Dam, Brajaprem, is within the heart. So for one who is serious about devotion and surrenders to the Lord, Tesham Sarata Yuktanam Bhajatam Pratipuravakam Dadami Buddhi Yogamtam Yenam Upyantite, then he will be given all knowledge. Krishna tells that in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, in the 15th verse. Sarvasya chaham riti sannivishto matak smatir gyanam apohanam cha vedas cha sever aham eva vedyo vedanta krit vedeva chaham. He says Vedanta. So that Vedanta means the end of the Vedas. Krishna says vedas cha sever aham eva vedyo vedanta krit vedeva chaham. So by all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedas. I have written them all down as Vyasadeva, and I am the goal of the Vedas. I am the end of the Vedas. So that, and Krishna is saying, Sarvasya Chaham, he said, I am in the heart, and from me, inside the heart, comes all remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So in the beginning of Brahma's life, from Krishna within the heart, he covered Brahma with forgetfulness. Brahma was in the universe, and he was sitting on top of Krishna. He He's sitting on top of Krishna. He's connected with Krishna through the umbilical cord, as the baby is connected to his mother by the umbilical cord. So he was connected by the umbilical cord. He's the original baby, the big baby, baby Brahma. And the mother is Vishnu, right? Garbhadaksha Vishnu, isn't it? Garbha means womb. It's like Garbha means womb. Or we say Garbhadan Samskara, conception ceremony, or conception yajna, ritual, samskara. So the baby in the womb in the garbha is connected to his mother by the umbilical cord through the belly button. So they're the same thing, the original baby. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the mother, I am the support, I am the father, the universe. And Chaitanya Bhagavat, you see in Chaitanya Lila, once in Shiva Sangam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was enacting his ecstasy of showing his Vishwarup, and he showed his form as Rukmini, he showed his form as Durga, and he says, I am the mother of the universe, I am the support of the universe, I am the father. So when he showed his form as Ma Durga. Ma Durga means the mother. So he was sitting on the asana, but he had the form of a lady. And Ma Durga, she had breasts and everything, large breasts like water pitchers or water, you know, water pots, large, full breast. And so all the devotees were coming and sitting on the lap of Lord Chaitanya was Durga, and they were sucking his breast. This is there in the pages of Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Vrindavanas Thakur is saying the devotees were coming one by one, sitting on the lap of Lord Chaitanya and drinking the milk from his breast as Mother Durga. So he was impressing upon, I am the support. As the mother supports the baby outside of the womb with the milk of her breast, Lord Chaitanya was breastfeeding his disciples. So in the same way, inside the womb, the mother is feeding the child through the umbilical cord connected to the uterus. So in a similar way, Brahma is sitting on the umbilical cord of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. From the garbha, from the womb or the belly, is the umbilical cord was the stem of a lotus, because it was an interesting mother. The mother was a man. The mother of Brahma was a man, so he didn't have an umbilical cord. First, he's not a woman, he's a man. He's Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, but he had a garbha. How does a man have a garbha? Interesting. And he doesn't have an umbilical cord, he has a lotus stem for an umbilical cord. Instead of having a uterus, he has a lotus flower for a uterus. All right. Instead of having some stinking baby in a uterus, he's got Brahma sitting on a lotus flower. But the same thing is there. He's getting nourished. Everything is coming from the mother, from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. What also came to him was forgetfulness. As a baby is covered with forgetfulness in the womb, he doesn't know who or what he is. He's in darkness and suffering and crying. Brahma was sitting on the womb of the lotus flower in darkness, in suffering and crying. Who am I? What's going on? It's all dark. I'm confused. I'm bewildered. I'm afraid. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to do something. And then he started performing austerities. So then Krishna gave him knowledge. He sent Saraswati. Saraswati is the goddess of knowledge. But not the ordinary Saraswati who's Brahma's wife later, or Brahma's daughter, as Prabhupada says. But he sent Divya Saraswati. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu sent his own wife, known as Divya, or transcendental, the spiritual Saraswati, to give knowledge. So this is how Krishna gives knowledge. Knowledge is a shakti or an energy, a personality. It's a lady. Knowledge is personified as a lady because all the shaktis are ladies or female. Sarvasya chaham riti sannivishto matasmatir gyanam aponam cha. So Krishna says, from me comes knowledge, from me comes forgetfulness. And all the Vedas. So Lord Krishna is in the heart, so he gives knowledge to the devotees. So for one who's a Gaudiya Vaishnava and his Ishtadev is not Krishna so much, but the combined form of Radha and Krishna specifically presenting themselves as Lord Chaitanya. So in the heart of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is Lord Chaitanya. So the Vedanta, when Krishna says Vedanta, he says, Vedascha sarvam aham eva vedo Vedanta krid veda vedeva chaham in 15:15 of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying, I am the end of the Vedas. In other words, Krishna Bhakti or Vishnu Bhakti or Narayan or Vaikuntha Bhakti. That's what Vasudeva Krishna is saying in the Gita. But for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it is not Paramatmas in the heart, it's not Vishnu in the heart, it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's in the heart. And the Vedanta of Lord Chaitanya is known as Gaudiya Vedanta. So Lord Chaitanya in the heart will give the Vedanta of Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. That will be revealed to the devotees. Just as it was revealed in this verse, he's saying, listen, O Brahma, this is the philosophy that, you know, that everything's coming from me and that you have your seva to do. So these are the teachings of this verse, that this Gaudiya, the Vedanta for us is Gaudiya Vedanta, which is a Achintya Beta Beta Tattva, which incorporates all these different points that we mentioned. So Jiva Goswami, in his commentary, he has a small dialogue. So Krishna, he has his he kind of imagines this like personal dialogue, which is the same thing that Vishnu Chakravarti does in the Bhagavad Gita. He, in his commentaries of each verse, he has a very elaborate dialogue or discussion or conversation going on between Krishna and Arjuna. When Krishna says, "Oh, what does this mean?" So the verse might be, what do you mean by it? What is higher, Brahman or Bhakti or Jnana or Bhakti?" Then in Vishnu's commentary in that verse in Gita, Krishna says, "Listen, you stupid, I already told you that. Why are you acting so silly?" And then Krishna says, "Listen, shape up. I'll tell you again, but I'm not going to tell you a third time. Now listen intently." So Vishnu brings out a very human aspect of their dialogue, which is kind of left out by Sanjay. When Sanjay is recounting the Bhagavad Gita to Dhritarashtra by his transcendental BBC, or transcendental TV, we only get the guts of it. We get the basic shlokas, but we don't get the in-betweens. But Vishwanath gives us the in-betweens, behind the scenes, the short quips and the little jokes and that were going on, that are actually going on. So in the same way, Jiva has given us a more kind of a scenario here, more than what Brahma was writing down himself, because this is Brahma's Samhita. This is his diary notes. He's summarizing. He went to school one day and then he wrote down his notes. He didn't write down every word of the teacher, but he wrote down the key points, which ended up as 62 shlokas. And this is the last one. But Jiva is saying that it went something like this, that Krishna said, "Listen, Brahma, in this way, your desire to create will be fulfilled. It will happen like this, that I am the Pradhan, I am the Bijam, I am the Prakriti, Puman, I am the seer, I am the doer, and the Brahman is within you. So what more needs to be said?" Then the Lord said to Brahma, "You carry the power. You carry that power. It's already within you. I have given you, therefore, O Brahma, with this power I have already given you, you should create all the worlds filled with moving and non-moving creatures." So it's interesting, because as we were mentioning a few minutes ago, that the kingdom of God is within us, and that Krishna is within us, and Radha and Vrindavan and everything, and that Gaudiya Vedanta is within us also. If we turn to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chant his name, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, then we'll realize this Vedanta, and we'll realize that everything is within our heart, that the unlimited ocean of Prema Bhakti is surging in various waves of ecstatic expression right inside ourselves, that we don't have to look outside to anyone in this world or to anything or any place in this world. We have to look within. As Lord Jesus said, the kingdom of God lies within. So in this verse, and in a rather complicated, with rather complicated language, Krishna is saying the same thing. "Listen, Brahma, the Brahman is within. Everything's within you. I've already given you everything. Why are you so stupid?" So we might look at ourselves in light of Brahma, and Krishna is speaking to us. "Hey, listen, Krishna Das, why are you so stupid? You know, I've already given you everything inside your heart. But now you're the baby in forgetfulness. You're nourished by me, you're connected with me, you're sitting with me, and you're just like Brahma sitting on top of Varvadaksha Vishnu," and he said, "Where am I? What's going on?" He said, and Vishnu is looking up, "Is this stupid guy? He's sitting on top of my umbilical cord, he's sitting on top of my lotus stem and my lotus flower, and he doesn't even know he doesn't know where he is." So we're sitting right now in the middle of the spiritual world. On one side is Radha, on the other side is Krishna. But we don't know what's going on. Where am I? Who am I? Kayami tapi chai. Who am I? Why am I suffering? So it's simply a matter of turning on the switch. And then we see that whatever we see, turning on the light, becoming enlightened. So Brahma was in the darkness and he came to the light. So we have to search it out up to this point, as Krishna told in the Chatushloki of Bhagavatam. He also told Brahma that you have to search out up to this point. So searching out up to this point means searching within ourselves to find Lord Chaitanya. So this great this great knowledge of Gaudiya Vedanta has been given to us by the Mahajans, and we simply have to follow in their footsteps. So I think I'll conclude our presentation of the Brahma Samhita, verse 62, and hope that everyone was able to enhance their understanding of this wonderful literature, Brahma Samhita, which Lord Chaitanya, when he received this book, as we mentioned in the first class, he went into ecstasy, started rolling on the ground, perspiring, and hair standing, and then tears flowing from his eyes. It's as if someone who was searching for gold, panning for gold, finally found a gold mine, and he starts jumping up and down, "Eureka, Eureka, Eureka! I found it, I found it, I found it." So this is that great book when Lord Chaitanya went in the Adikeshva temple in Travancore is the old name for what the British call Trivandrum, Travancore. We had the good fortune of visiting that temple some years ago in Travancore. So Lord Chaitanya went there and they said, "Do you have any ancient scriptures here about the philosophy, Vaishnava philosophy, or anything from teachings of Lord Brahma, because I'm interested in anything about the Brahma, Lord Brahma, Brahma Madhva, Sampradaya." So then the librarian said, "I think we have some Hita here, some book by Brahma or something. Let me look up." So he said, "Oh, all we have here is this chapter 5. Lord Chaitanya looked at it. "Oh, Aloka Chandra Lasad Lasadvanamalyavamshi Ratnan Gadam Pranayakili Kalavilasham Shamam Tribangalalitam Niyataprakasham Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami." And Lord Chaitanya read that verse and he collapsed in ecstasy on the ground. "Shamam, Shamam, 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 Tribanga, 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 Lalitam, Lalitam." Then he read more verses. "Venam kvavantam aravinda dalaya taksham bharhavatam samasitam budasundarangam kandarpakoti kamaniya visheshashobam." Because Lord Chaitanya, when he took sannyas, he told his mother he was going to search throughout India for his brother Vishwarup, who had previously taken sannyas before him. But that was only the external reason. Actually, he was searching for Krishna. He's in Radha Bhav. Radharani is in separation, Vipralamba Bhav, searching for Krishna. "Krishna, Krishna, 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 hey!" That is all that Lord Chaitanya chanted, practically. And when he got tired of chanting that, he chanted, "Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Yadavaya, Madhavaya, Keshavaya Namaha, Yadavaya, Madhavaya, Keshavaya Namaha, Hari, 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 Hari Harai, Harai, Haraya, Krishna, 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 hey! My protector, my lord, my master, my Pahimam, Pahimam, Pahimam. My Raghava, you're my Raghava, you're my enjoyer." So then when he got in the temple of Adikeshwa Mandir and then he saw this book all describing the beauty of Krishna, Venam Kavantam and Barhavatam, a beautiful turban on his head and a peacock feather shining on his turban, and his threefold bending form, and his moon locket around his neck, and he was fainted in ecstasy, and he said, "Oh, what a wonderful book. This is a complete philosophy. It describes the demigods, and Brahma, and Ganesh, and Shiva, and Indra, everything, and Surya, and Durga, and creation. So this is perfect. This is the perfect praman for our Gaudiya Vaishnava Vedanta. This is the Mukhya Pradhan, the Mukhya Shastra for Gaudiya Vedanta. This is perfect." So he had a scribe make a copy. He made a Xerox copy. The Xerox in those days was by handwriting Xerox. Then he took it back with him throughout South India and returned to Navadvip, and he showed it to Murari Gupta and Murari Gupta and other devotees over there, Jagananda Pandit, and they were all relishing what great ecstatic verses they were, so beautifully poetically composed and such perfect siddhanta. So everybody rapidly made copies of it and started studying it every day and memorizing the verses, and it rapidly became the most popular book amongst all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. It was their pocketbook. It was their daily, as we don't go anywhere without our wristwatch, We have to have a wristwatch to know where we are, what time it is. So none of the devotees would go anywhere without their pocket edition of Brahma Samhita, handwritten edition, in their pocket of their kurtas or inside their little japa bead bag pockets. If they had little pockets in their bead bags back then, I don't know. So we can't really understand. We think, oh, Brahma Samhita, yeah, it's some other book. I don't know what it says. It's all this wild English and really erudite words. I can't follow it. I think there's something in there important, but I can't really read it. But it wasn't like that 500 years ago. This book was so much popular. It was very, very popular. So hopefully the devotees will renew their appreciation or begin their appreciation for Brahma Samhita and study as Prabhupada, or as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, and Prabhupada paraphrases on his tape, devotees should study this verses of the Brahma Samhita as a regular daily function. This is what he says, a regular daily function. Study these verses. Prabhupada so much wanted to point the devotees in the direction of Brahma Samhita that he instituted the chanting of two verses of the Brahma Samhita with a Sringar Artik in every temple around the world. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami Venam Kavantam Maravinda Dalayataksham Varhavatam Samasitam Buddhasundarangam Kandarpakoti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami Anganiyasya Sakalen Jiyavritti Manti Pashyanti Panti Kalyanti Chiram Jaganti Anandan Chinmaya Saruj Vala Vigrahasya Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami.